This is RSVNB Update, episode 387, recorded Thursday, November 15th, 2012. Wee wee! Hello, everybody. Yes, welcome to RSVNB Update, the penultimate episode before EOC is released. And as has been the trend in the past couple of weeks, news items are trending in that direction, so of course we're going to be talking a lot about that this week. Trekkie's with me this week.
Yo.
So how you doing this week?
I need more Red Bull.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. I just like the taste.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't to do with the mass dungeoneering run or anything like that?
No. I only did a couple solo ones because of the daily.
Oh, okay.
I ended up getting two dungeon and daily. I was like, ooh, this is nice.
Oh, lovely.
I actually got some decent experience out of the dungeon itself. I was like, ooh, this isn't too bad.
That's good. So, that's interesting you bring up Dungeoneering, because that's actually one of the highlighting updates this week. This is an update I feel has been needed for quite some time, and that being the solo and small groups Dungeoneering getting a bit better XP.
Yeah. So. You want to just read this first, or?
No, go for it.
Well, I basically did level 1 just to, you know, just to get my daily done, and I only did a small C6.
A level 1 floor?
Yeah, the first one, period. And I ended up getting around 10k experience, which isn't bad considering it's only the level 1 one, and I just reset.
Right. Yeah, I got around, I think, 6,500 for level 1, and I just reset as well. So,
So I'm assuming
if you're getting 6,500 for a level 1 small, and imagine what you get for a medium at level 30 or so. Of course, we don't have any raw numbers on this. I don't. Do you?
No. Damn it.
Okay. Well, in any case, Jagex does say that the XP returns are greater and at least double for a solo player. And of course, as we said last week, groups of 5 doing largest will still have the advantage here, which is good, because there are people that actually do that and that are actually still legit. Because didn't you say you had some problems with finding actual groups like that?
Yeah, I still do. Still, people want to leech and buy and all that, so it's just annoying. Even the random ones, they're starting to dwindle. I guess, you know, it is the Thanksgiving weekend soon here in the U.S.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, yeah. It's just greater XP. Maybe this will give me more incentive to go dungeoneering. What do you think?
Hey, if you're like, you know, you don't want to hang out, do it with other people, you just want to level up, it's okay, but still good. You know, grab a buddy. It really does make the
Impact
you have a buddy.
And that's the thing. Even doing with 2 players, you get more XP. So if you're not able to get that full group, or you only got 1 or 2 people you trust, bring them along and do it this way. Do a medium and move through it really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And just a general guide to Dungeoneering, remember that we did do that Dungeoneering focus back in October. So if you are interested, once again, you can go and have a listen to that. Most of that is geared toward the group, but there is a portion of it geared toward Dungeoneering in general, so it will help you at the very least with this.
All right.
Oh, and of course, you get more XP tokens, so with this, Jagex does say that this is a good way of getting getting
gear.
That Chaotic Rapier faster.
Yes, which in EOC, it should be not as powerful, but still should be a decent weapon.
Yeah, there's some question about what the speed of the rapier will be, because I think in the main game, the speed of the rapier is fastest, but in EOC, there's only three weapon speeds, and it did get substantially slowed down by a bit. So I'm not exactly sure what the point of the rapier is, aside from its insane bonuses, because let me just look, pull up quickly what the times are for it, but really there's no real differentiating factors, at least by that much, of what a weapon speed is now in EOC. Let me just pull this up. Let's see, we want the items, and then we would like Divine Whip. So the choices we have for speed in EOC are fastest, which is every 2.4 seconds, fast every 3 seconds, and average every 3.6 seconds. Whereas in the game right now, weapons were a lot, had the ability to be faster. So we did see that go down a bit. So I'm not sure whether the Chaotic Rapier will still be needed for Slayer and everything like that. Hopefully it still has a good place to go, because its bonuses are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, less than a week to go, and we got more information on EOC. But first, let's talk about gravestones.
Well, just one little thing about the binding issue in Dungeoneering. So
basically, I scrolled over that.
You can bind. Let's see. You can bind up to whatever items, but I think they made some changes to it too. I think you can bind more.
Right.
What happens is that now they have, since with the whole EOC is coming out, what they've done is you talk to the smuggler about what items that you can bind, and what happens is you have a choice between different...
you can bind 10 items in total, no matter what level you're at.
And the whole point, the whole idea behind this is that, let's say you end up going, you're in a dungeon and your melee isn't working because the monsters here are very resistant to your melee. You go back to the smuggler, change to mage or range, and you can, whatever you bind for those, and go back out and fight so-and-so. And the whole point behind this is that if, you end up going to getting the boss, which just happens many times when I'm doing a dungeon, who's, melee is just not an option for whatever reason, you can switch to mage or melee, range or magic by grabbing your other bind items, so you don't have to worry too much about having the wrong thing, which it really is quite nice. I do like that feature. I think it will be really helpful.
And that's pretty good for EOC as well, because the EOC plays a bigger role in the combat triangle than it plays right now, so it makes sense to try and change your combat type up a bit.
It actually scared the living daylights out of me when I went in the first time. I was like, where's my two hand?
Me too.
And I asked you, like, dude, Shane, what the hell? Where'd my two hander go? You're like, oh, check the interface. Like, the what? You're like, oh, found it. Ooh, this is nice. But the amount of items you can put on at one time still applies. So, level 20, you can only bind two items. Level 50 is 3, 90 is 4, 120 is 5. 120 is quite
and
nice.
And that's good they added that extra bind at 90.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Did you find that interface confusing at all?
No, it was actually really, really straightforward. Here's your 10 slots that you saved up. Put two or ten or whatever into each slot, and here's your melee setup, here's your range setup, here's your magic setup, and go have a ball.
Okay. Now, I get the top part, what you were saying, but the part I don't get is you drag these out to the loadout for, like you said, either melee, mage, or ranged, for example. Mm-hmm. And now the question is, how do you wear them? Like, do you have to click on
automatic.
Them? Or do you just...
click on it. There's a little button that says, I want to wear this setup, and it will change right away.
Oh, so it's smart, and it actually equips it for you.
Mm-hmm. And, whatever you're wearing goes back into that, and you wear whatever's next. That's what I noticed when I put on my melee gear. I don't have anything else yet. So, yeah. I like it. One other little... You finish up first.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say it's good that they did this, but the problem is that the interface I found wasn't the most clear, because like I said, I didn't know what to do with it when I opened it up. It's like, you have these 10 slots, and you have two of them already taken, my two binds. So, the thing is, then, how do these other three rows work, and that kind of thing? And then how do you wear it?
I believe they were just color-coded, just, you know, click and drag it over to the bar. I understand your confusion. It confused me a little bit, too, until I started playing around with it. But, you know, think of the 10 slots.
That's the point. You shouldn't have to play around with it to know what to do.
Well, it was pretty straightforward once I figured out where to put the stuff.
but it's a big change for people who are just getting, or who have already been acquainted with Dungeoneering. Like, let's say 2 months down the road, you didn't do any Dungeoneering, person might wonder what happened.
That scared me when I have my two-hander on my hand. I was like,
"Yeah," and that was 2 days after the fact. So imagine 2 months after the fact. I don't know. Nonetheless, it's a good update. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say that. Do you remember in EOC when it's full release, you cannot use potions. You cannot drink potions before entering a dungeon and get those little stat boosts. It's not going to work anymore. So, you know, my recommendation is before that time, you know, go into, try to grab some friends and just start, you know, put some C6 larges and just, you know, try and gather, just do a gathering mission run. You know, just get your bow, get your armor and all that stuff, you know, ready to go. And most, a lot of people already have 120, so they can basically have a full outfit ready to go. And people like me, who's 9, I can get 4, so I'm going to get some nice stuff for myself.
Yeah, and, I think we... What do you use for your melee weapon?
Prom two-hander. That's kind of staple. Just go with the best two-hander you can get your hand on. Unless you're planning on being a tanker, in which case you go for the battle axe and with a shield.
See, the thing with the two-hander is that doesn't have a stab option, and some are weak to stab, so... That's why I went with the spear. Because it has all three, but
I don't never really bother with the spear too much. It's just just power through it, in my opinion.
All right, so that's the Dungeoneering update overall. We're pretty happy with that.
Yeah, it was quite nice. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to Dungeoneering, getting some nice, you know, some dailies in. Because, you know, it's basically I get 10k plus the 90. I was like, wow! Every time I do one, I get like 100k. Yes. I want more Dungeoneering challenges. I don't care what they are. I want to do more.
Yeah. All right. So the Gravestone update.
Ever died in dark mire? Watch as your gear faded before your grasping fingers and found yourself in a city full of hungry vampires wearing just your undergarments and an expression of dismay. Well, with the new Gravestone interface, there's no longer any reason to be left behind on code. Let's click on your gravestone and immediately display everything that you've dropped on death.
And that's essentially what it does. When you die, you just examine your gravestone and you get your options, either take all or equip all. And, you know, equip all does the same thing where it just puts everything back into your inventory, or not on your inventory, into your worn item slot, and then you're good to go.
Oh, you remember when we were fighting the boss, how many times we've died doing this one?
Which boss?
In the branches of Dragonmire one. The vampire one at the very end when me and you went into.
Right.
Ooh, that was a pain. Me and you died so many times.
Yeah, that'd be good for that one.
Remember we were running through it trying to get our stuff back before the vampire saw us? I was like, run, Shane, run!
Do you think this is what it was targeted at? Because they mentioned the part of Darkmire here.
Maybe. But I know that I've had my fair share of dying to the Metal Dragons in Curl's dungeon because I forget to... I didn't bring my anti-dragon shield and I had super anti-fire that I forgot to drink because it just ran out. So I have my share of being roasted by dragons. And
so the fact with the gravestone that it's really not that expensive. You can get a 9-minute respawn timer. I think if you're not in the wilderness, you pretty much get all your stuff back now if you die.
Mm-hmm. If you get back to it.
Yeah. Unless someone blesses. But still, there's lots of ways to get places in RuneScape in under 10 minutes, that's for sure.
Well, I did die to, got worse during that because I forgot to bring a teleport. Not fun.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah. I forgot to bring, out of all the things I brought, I forgot to bring a teleport. It's like, ugh. Stupid.
Do you think this update could have been released a couple years back?
Maybe.
Because it seems like just such a nice usability update. So, good we have it now.
Mm. Alrighty. Other news?
Just some tweaks and fixes this week. Crucible changes. There's a prayer altar now. Pairing mechanic has been reworked to give fairer opponents. Familiars have been disallowed. Supreme Champion has been made clear, and the Supreme Champion role will now deal more damage and reward an extra trophy bone per killing blow. And Gorgian mushrooms are now allowed into the arena. I've never heard of those. Any idea what that is?
Which one was it?
Gorgian mushroom.
Mushrooms.
Oh, it's the mushroom from the polypore dungeon. Heals for 10% of players' max life points up to 99 life points. Okay. Yay. Let's see. 3 quest points awarded for Prince Ellie rescue have been removed. As such, now the new quest point total is 335 and 338. I was wondering about this when those 2 desert quests came out, because they didn't exactly change the way they were rewarded.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Anything
let's see,
from
couple
the patch notes?
Patch notes? Nah, nothing jumps out at me.
Yeah, same. Not much here this week of interest to us. Oh, maybe the fact that the cure poison option on the life points little globe up top now works with the prayer book from Great Brain Robbery.
That's always good.
That's nice.
Yes, yes.
Alrighty. Moving on to the Evolution Combat upcoming changes that'll be brought out at launch.
Mm-hmm.
So all the right. Combat triangle is the first thing to mention. There's been consistent feedback that the triangle is too strictly enforced, particularly around PVM. Means in certain cases you need to carry 3 sets of kit, which they don't like. So to combat this, they've increased the hit chance for users in the same or negative side of the triangle as a result.
Yes, so I guess they made a little rebalance of a triangle then.
Yep. So essentially, if you're fighting somebody who is using weak to the same kind of thing you're using, you'll get a boost, and you also get a boost if you're fighting somebody that is strong against you. Potions and Herbalar have been given a power boost.
Mm-hmm.
Because they talked about this in the live stream this past Sunday, and they said that the reason they took it down so much was that they didn't want quests like Nomad, for example, to absolutely require overload potions.
Okay.
So that's why they took it down, but they're bringing it up a bit. So I don't think they bring it up a bit as much. We'll have to do some examining on that.
All right.
Prayer also got a boost, so same thing, like Turmoil and whatnot.
Let's see. Underpowered
the equipped
beta,
items therefore interface. They're moving away from the star system, which is good. Because, really, that doesn't give you any exact numbers to work with. And sometimes you'd equip something, and then nothing would change, which really isn't helpful, because everything appears to be equal when it's actually not on that side. So it'll be good to see that when this comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, also, already in beta, the God Swords and Enhanced Excalibur now do have their special attacks back. Randomly hit, though. So Armadillo will increase attack and strength like it does. Bandos will decrease the target's defense. Ceridomen heals some of your base life and prayer points. And Zamorak stuns your target. And of course, the Excalibur will heal you some life points, which are boosted if you've done the elite tasks. I think overall, these updates to EOC are a good thing, and were probably needed. Especially these special attacks. Because you remember the God Swords took a huge drop.
Yes, I seriously cannot wait to grab my Armadillo God Sword and just start killing, doing Slayer's ass. And just like, whoop, I'm done. All right. But I don't know. Dual wielding seems so much better in terms of AoE attacks.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
That's
see
why I'm
happens.
Thinking my. My ability bar for Slayer will be dual wielded, unless heavy hitting creature and I need shield or something. All right. Further in tune with Evolution of Combat, they have a sale on loyalty store items. So 25% boost on all auras. And a massive 50% boost on everything else, including costumes, titles, emotes, recolors for popular items. So, you're always looking for a sale. Now's the chance. Okay. The combat aura is actually being overhauled for EOC. So, the combat auras. So we got inspiration. This will add extra adrenaline every hit.
Oh god, I hope they need to update knockout. Oh god.
Nope, that's not on the list.
Ben, that's not fair. I hate that stupid thing. maybe with my massive AoE attacks, I'll do better.
Invigorate, this aura will retain a chunk of your adrenaline. When you fire off an ultimate ability, so it won't use as much.
Cool.
Vampirism is going to be tweaked as well. It returns life points equivalent to 5% of the damage you deal, and the new EOC abilities means that a skilled player can push DPS and the healing from this aura to lofty new heights. Mm. So, you know, these ones actually look interesting now with EOC. Specifically, inspiration and vampirism.
Yeah, I may use inspiration just to test out bars, but I'm guessing the cooldown. The cooldown of it will be still relatively high.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to try those, but maybe like if they do something like if you do this or that in the tutorial area, it instantly recharges or something like that just to test it out. That would be nice.
Yeah, that would have been a nice thing.
Yeah, I would love to try inspiration. That sounds fun. Open up the ultimately on all the quicker. Yeah. So that's gonna be great with dual wielding because you know how fast you'll attack. Also good for ranging because you know that's what all the darts that are flying out. Invigoration, yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to use my reverence anymore.
No, I still do. I may. But it would be nice if they released a little bank box that can store all the auras in your bank. Would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be good.
And, Jackax, if you're listening, please update Knockout Aura. Okay? I still have it. It's not fun.
What's it supposed to do?
When it reaches very, 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 very low, it's supposed to give you an instant chance of killing it, but it does. It's not instant.
Okay.
I've had that thing sparkle and still did no damage, and it's like, oh, I might as well just hit it naturally. I'd save time. Also, it'd save money. It's like 10% health or less. So I was like,
All right. So now that we mentioned that, let's just talk about Squeal a bit.
Again?
Yeah, because these are interesting. Rare items are a little bit less rare. Smaller prizes have been removed and made more useful. And you'll win more prizes that are tailored to your skill levels.
I don't know about that one. I got a pendant of defense, and I already got 99 defense.
Yeah, so you're saying it might not be as...
I think one of the rare ones for smithing, 1% extra experience in smithing, was like, that 1% is nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but, you know, 1%...
But it adds up over time, that's the thing.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in leveling smithing anytime soon. Actually, what I really need to level up is construction, but it just takes forever.
You know, what's interesting about this is that they also have these other pendants, the prismatic pendants.
Mm-hmm.
That can be tuned to any skill that you want. Today, I got a regular one and a prized one, so that'll be fun to use. I mean... it's so annoying when you want to spin and you don't know if you're going to get the pendant you want. And if sometimes you miss it on the board, it's just a good idea to have these prismatic pendants lying around. So, and they also upgraded those. They give out more XP. And once you deplete a pendant, you don't throw it away anymore. If it's run out, you just use one regular and one prize pendant. It is all you'll ever need, and you can recharge the pendant when it runs out.
Eh. I still got rid of it. I just destroyed it when it was done.
Yeah, because we didn't know that this update was coming, so...
Well, I just finished one, you know, not too long, just like, you know, 20 minutes ago before the podcast, and I was like, just destroy it. I don't feel like... Oh, okay. I don't like you, Shane. I don't have that much bank space. I don't have an extra 50.
Right. Okay.
Let's see. Anything else? Oh, yeah. The new Squeal interface is kind of wonky, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of confusing as to actually how you close out of the thing, because you have to click the little X up in the corner. And normally that's fine, but there should be a done button or something else like that, just because you click spin, you're done, and then, in my view, just the X is a little bit too small.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. It's too small. It's basically the same size as the one in the actual game, and that one's fine because it's the game, but in the Squeal, it's just need to make it bigger.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and there's also now the option to convert coins to coins.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That was fun. It's like,
It seems like a bit of a little issue, but that's okay.
Eh. Would be nice if can give us a little extra for doing it. You know, give an extra 2 or 3 coins.
I don't think so. Okay, so there's a new little graphical thing in Solomon Store, the explosive skills. So, why merely light a fire when you can combust one into existence? Why fish with a rod when a depth charge is just as effective? So this is on the order of headbanging, mining, and karate chopping trees. So if you're interested in changing the way your skills look, by all means, head on over to Solomon's store and pick one of these up. Personally, I'd like to see what the depth charge fishing looks like.
Depth charge fishing. I'm guessing you just jump off and catch a fish, or try to anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what they should really do as an animation? Grenade fishing. Toss a grenade into the water. Boom! All the fish starts flying up. Just grab a basket.
That's like a depth charge, except depth charges are bigger.
Hey, you know, you gotta keep it a little PG.
I'd say, okay. Anyways, variants are available for fishing, fire making, alchemy, mining, and wood cutting.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Jagex, give us a sale. I'd buy something, give us a sale. More than 10%.
Well, I think it's a fair price. They're only like 196 points each.
Yeah, but I'm just going to wait till I get save more than 10%.
Okay. Let's see if I can find a YouTube video on the depth charge fishing, because there's no animation for me on the... Okay, so first result in the Googles for depth charge fishing is fish depth charge from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Wikipedia. And then we had got a YouTube video fishing with dynamite in Afghanistan. I see.
Someone got bored.
Yeah, so if you know what this looks like, share a video or something.
Was it Canadian?
I don't know. I didn't click on the link. But alrighty.
Alright.
So that's Solomon's.
Mm-hmm.
Now heading off into the community section, you'll remember last week we mentioned Jagex's competition for EOC-based videos. They shared one with us this week. Essentially a guide on the ranged abilities and how you can use ranged effectively in EOC, which is something that people need to know, because personally I find ranged a whole lot more useful in EOC than I do now.
Yeah. We're gonna have to start stock. We're gonna have to stock up on bolts and all that stuff now.
Yeah. But if you had that, you're pretty good. If you had it all from before.
But I think the problem I'm having with it is the fact that, you know, prices of bolts are gonna probably skyrocket.
Well, it's good for the smithing people.
Well, if you say so. But usually, buying the raw materials, you still end up losing a lot of money.
And remember that war is good for business.
Prolonged war is bad for business.
Maybe. I don't know.
That was Sun Tzu.
All right.
Community roundup. Go for it.
Okay. So Thanksgiving 2012, if you want to participate in any of the U.S. Thanksgiving events, JX has a link on their forum, where you can find all the Thanksgiving events going on. So we'll have to see what the Thanksgiving update looks like. That should be next week, I guess, since mm-hmm. Thanksgiving is, what, Thursday next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Second to last Thursday of November.
Excellent. Also, they got some more videos that are focused on EOC. So they got Dual Arena and... just a whole general collection of them. So they say that if you want to get they want you to go like their Facebook page. And I think you used to be able to get something for doing that too. I forget what it was. But...
For which one?
Liking their Facebook page.
No, I don't have Facebook.
But that's
so
gone now. All right. Then, of course, we got Fansite news where we feature this week. Specifically with our action bar tool on the equipment calculator. So I'll talk more about this later and how it all fits into everything. But if you head on over to our equipment calculator, just rsmovie.com, calculators and equipment calculator, you'll notice that we have a new section on there, ability bar. And essentially what you'd be able to do is take any ability that's in game, drag it up, and then you get 5 bars to choose from, and then if you save a combat loadout, you will have the ability to, of course, bring the action bars with it and then share it throughout the community. More on that after. And just so everybody knows, we are currently in the process of updating all the items for EOC, so if items look a bit out of date in terms of their stats and the UI to represent that, that's why. And also, same goes for the max hit calculators as well. We're waiting for more data on that to come in.
Yay!
Also, in the community roundup this week, we got a Rune Zone PVM event on December 1st. So if you want to go for some PVM action, you could do that. And then, of course, there's the RuneScape Football League. So, RuneScape player and football fanatic Big Ben regularly hosts RuneScape football matches and looking for more players to get involved. If football is your thing, then perhaps you can join the RuneScape Football League.
Soccer sucks.
No, it doesn't. I'm wondering how they do this.
I don't know. I'm guessing it's going to be like massive version of Castle Wars with a giant demon head in the center.
Yeah, like I'd like to see what... like, they got a whole league of how everything's running. So I'd like to see a video of how you do this, because we thought of doing something like this before. But the closest you can get is Gnome Ball. Well, there's the ball that you can kick now, the beach ball. But that only came out this year, so I'm not sure. Mm. Anyways, that's interesting. And they are showcasing here a Gravite two-handed sword by created by a community member as their birthday present for someone.
Yay, cool.
Yeah, so it's a real really sword. Nice. Yeah, it does. So we go through a full video here showing some pictures of the sword in it, and it looks fairly detailed, too. So apparently it took 10 hours finish. So, and then at the end he says he got 99 crafting through that process. So definitely nice to see stuff like this. And if you have any kind of things that you've done like this, drawings or nice little RuneScape real life creations, just send them an email to community@jx.com.
And yeah, I feel it's paying for 99 crafting.
Yep. Alrighty. I believe that's it for RS news this week.
Yeah,
normally we'd
EOC.
Be doing normally we'd be doing questions right now, but we're not this week because we have another focus, and that focus is entitled The Great Evolution of Combat Debate. So we will have a listen to that right now. Hello, everybody. I'm here with Raji, and we're here to discuss the evolution of combat. Some of you might remember Raji from RuneFest last year, or a couple of the other bot specials we've done, so say hello to him right now with me.
Hello, what's up? Raji here. Sound a bit like my YouTube intro there, goddamn.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. So, evolution of combat. I take it we're both very excited about this.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be epic. Only 3 days to go.
Woo! So, we had initially intended to have somebody on representing the yes side, which is Uraji, and we also had somebody booked to come on to represent the no side, but he didn't show up, so I'm not sure what his reasoning is, if he just forgot, or if he couldn't get Skype going, or if his internet went out, or if he couldn't come up with negative arguments that would stand up. I don't know. So we're just going to go for it from the positive side and dispel some of the common negative myths about EOC that are about. So let's start off with laying down a few background points. First one being that RuneScape combat has been largely the same since 2004 when RuneScape 2 launched. Would you agree with that one?
Yeah, that is a pretty valid argument, but I mean, it's in the same respect that everything has to change at some point. Like, you know, how I think the only thing I can think of in game that hasn't changed since RuneScape 2 came out is, well, since they first came out anyway, was mod crowns. They still look the same.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And I can't think of any other piece of content that hasn't changed. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's well due to change. But it's, well, it's gotten to the point where, like, you know, you can look at this whole combat system and, like, you know, claw specs, for example. Look at claw specs and Karassi. Have you ever been in the wilderness and you've been stood there minding your own business, standing there by two trees, and then you just see this guy come out of nowhere and bash you with 600, and it's like, wait, what happened?
Yep.
We all know that feeling, so it's like, so it needs to change.
There are reasons for combat to change, and we're going to discuss some of those here. I wasn't really around when RuneScape Classic came out, but I remember some of the rules of RuneScape Classic and changing to RuneScape 2 combat, so that's why RuneScape 2 stands as the most recent combat change here in terms of mechanics. Now, earlier this year, Jagex announced they were reworking the combat system with their Evolution to Combat system. And then they launched a beta shortly thereafter. I think the beta launched, was it June or July? I forget when it was.
I think it was July. I'm not sure, though. Okay. It could be June.
So we're looking at around 4 to 5 months of beta testing, which is understandable for something of this magnitude. And given the changes that have taken place during that time, it's definitely good that they did the beta system rather than just unleashing it on everyone, because I'm pretty sure if they did that, we would have had our negative side running with pitchforks to the Jagex offices trying to do something, just as though what happened when Wilderness and the Free Trade was removed the first time. So it's good that we went through this process, even I say so. The Evolution Combat has also had mixed reviews. The more open-minded people tend to view it as a positive change for RuneScape and, in general, something that's needed for the game to continue on. And then we also had the hyper-dramatic response, as I'm sure most of you guys out there listening will know. So, let's just give an example of the hyper-dramatic response.
An example? Oh, God. I don't know. I mean, the only one I can really think of is, like, no special attacks anymore. How are we going to kill people and bash them high numbers and things like that? That's what ultimates are for.
Exactly. So, everything that appears to have a negative has a positive in the AOC as well. So, let's talk about some of these goals of what Jagex wanted to do with EOC, and then about what each of them means. So first off, they wanted to refocus combat to be more about the player skill. So would you agree that this has really happened with EOC?
Yeah, because I assume they're going to bring out a whole new bunch of abilities and things with the update rather than, you know, just keep the ones the way they are now. Because there isn't, I mean, there is quite a few of them, but there's not a broad selection. Yeah, so it's you know, that it could do with more, and I guess when there is more, it allows people to really customize their action bars, whereas when it comes out, I think if it remains the way it is now, people are going to have, like, the same setups, and I think once over time, you know, that more abilities come out, people's action bars are going to be, like, so different, and everybody's going to have their own tactics, and it's not just going to be the same as, like, you know, like, currently, if you look at it now, you've got the Bandos and the Karassi sword or the claws, and that's the best setup you can get, like, rush-wise, if you think about the Wilderness, but, or you can, you know, PVM, you've got the Tover and stuff like that, but, you know, I think it's going to make it unique, and everybody else is going to have their own way of doing things, and, you know, what works best for them. Obviously, people are going to suggest to each other, oh, I like this, you should use it too, or whatever, but, you know, there's going to be a wide range of variation, and it's not just a difference of how quickly you can hit a special attack, because if you fight somebody in the Wilderness, like, it comes down to who can hit their special attack first.
Right.
Who wins
and
the battle.
And also with that... And also with that, how much server lag you have between you and the server.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's literally just that, and where's the fun in it? I don't
yep,
see
exactly
the fun in that. It annoys me.
And also speaking with regard to more abilities coming out, in the EOC live stream that was this past weekend, they did say that a future quest in development will reward an ability.
Yep.
So, there we go. We're already planning to release more abilities.
Have you seen the behind the scenes, the future one that's just come out today on the homepage?
Yes, I did. I did.
Yeah. So, that one is, that describes a bunch of combat updates this month. Like, next month, December, you've got another fight, Tazar thing. Like, that's apparently higher level than
Grandmaster Quest.
Yeah. So, like, you know, they say that there's, like, it's uber high level, so there's going to be, like, boss fight. And I reckon, over the next few months after the EOC, they wanted to get the EOC live this month because they have these boss updates and combat updates that they want to bring out, and they want to show people how good it is. So that over the next few months, like, you know, December, early New Year, you're going to see a lot of combat updates, a few bosses. We've got the Kalphite King early next year, and I think they're really going to try and shove it in our faces how epic this system really is. And it's, you know, I think for PVMers like myself, it's going to be epic because it's going to require skill, tactic. You know, people are going to have to think about what they're doing rather than just like, oh, let's kit up in Torvra and Divine and let's go and rip.
Yeah, exactly. You just go with your max stats and you're done. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's always what I found annoying about the RuneScape combat system is it just came down to a dice roll. If you and two players or whatever had the same setup, it would just be that, and that was never really that fun. So, And you can still see that in the EOC, too. If you just fight somebody with, like, a whip or something and no abilities, you still get the same dice roll system. But when you throw the special tactics of abilities in, you do have a bit of an edge over that person.
Yeah, and the bleed effects are really nice as well. I guess it sort of cancels out the, you know, poison has been removed, so I guess that's the replacement. But bleed effects are brilliant. Like, if you know how to use those to your advantage, it's so beneficial. Because when I was playing around with the EOC a few weeks ago, there was a couple, like, you know, you could tell who the newbies were because they'd log on and you'd put slaughter on them and then run away, and then obviously they try to follow you, and then they wonder why they're getting hit 1,200s because you just put a bleed effect on them that hits like 300% more when they move off the square, and they're like, what the hell's going on? You just see them stand there eating.
And I know in the other game I play, Star Trek Online, damage over time effects are one of my favorite things to do, so it's just going to be so nice to have that same kind of thing in RuneScape as well. So definitely about player skill, and with that being said, we are running a contest right now for the best EOC action bar. More on that later in the show, but that's just on our equipment calculator if you want to get started with sharing some of these layouts. Okay, and they're also making it easier to access, and this kind of, we kind of touched on this in the last point, rather than just pushing buttons on the interface and finding out when it's time to special attack or when it's time to prayer flash or something, easier to access so that everybody has a fair chance of having a quick way to turn that prayer on or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think most of this comes from the action bar, because that thing is so customizable.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot more customizable as well. Like they said in the live stream that they did that they have plans to allow people to move it around, and you know, so I'd imagine once it would probably require to be on like resizable, because fixed screen you've got like a letterbox.
Yeah. And that's something that I touched on before when EOC came out. I did kind of a interface mock-up of what the future RuneScape interface could look like, tablets and everything. And it did have a movable action bar, and it actually called for the killing of the fixed window. So
yeah.
And I've seen pictures of the action bar with the fixed window, and it's just too small to be effective, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, well, there's five different bars, isn't there? Like, you know, it would be a lot nicer if we could move like all five of them off that bar and then having to switch between them and like move them about your screen.
Yeah.
Like if you could move them to the left or the right or whatever and have, you know, it would be nice, but I don't know how feasible it is, but like that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would require some probably major changes in their top level engine for their UI, because I get what you're saying. Like it's perfectly accessible right now, being able to assign keybinds and have 12 actions, ready to go with one button push, but wouldn't it be nice to have two of them up at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even one vertical or something like that on the side. So
yeah,
I'm sure that'll come in time. But if you compare the amount of time it takes right now this weekend before EOC comes out, and you want to, let's see, what's a good example where you need to prayer change and eat food all the time?
Tormented demons, maybe that.
Okay.
That requires prayer switching. Not really so much food if you do it right, but it does require prayer switching. And I don't know. They can kick your ass. Like they are pretty beastly.
Yeah.
I've died a few times there.
So let's say you were able to go in there and you put your prayer, quick prayers thing on the bar. You could toggle that quickly if you needed to and then fire off some abilities. And in theory, you wouldn't even need to leave your main interface. You would just use your mouse to click on the things on the tormented demons and then attack. So if there's anybody out there that feels that this is not making the game easier to play, contact us, because I think it really does, and I'm not sure how people could not see that.
I guess it's easier in some ways and more challenging in others. Like, PVM is going to be more challenging because, you know, it's just, you know, it needs to be more challenging. Like, PVM at the minute mm-hmm. is, even Nex, like, Nex is, you know, she's the smartest NPC in the game, and that she's the smartest NPC in the game for a reason, but it seems annoying that she isn't even that hard, even for the hardest NPC. Like, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can go in there and kick her ass, but, you know, if you don't, then you're going to get your ass kicked.
And I think that's the way it works. With this new level of customizability for the action bar and everything, I think that there's a group of PVMers out there, the true elite, that will appreciate this, that will appreciate the extra challenge.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it needs to be made harder. Like, it's just too easy. I mean, look, like when Fight Kiln came out, somebody, like Omastado, for example, he went in there first try, did it. That shouldn't happen.
I think we talked about that on the focus we did for Fight Kiln, because you did that one with me.
Yeah. And it's just too easy, like.
Yeah, so as well as making it easier, it gives people a new challenge, which for RuneScape is all a part of the experience, I think. Okay, mm-hmm. moving on. Giving Rangers and Mages a fighting chance. I think most people in RuneScape combat today, before EOC comes out, use melee. Do you feel that Rangers and Mages have been made stronger in EOC?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a particular magic ability called Asphyxiate, which is brilliant. Like, it's sort of like a magical bleed effect, but it just destroys. I think certain magic spells are OP, like Storm of Armadil and Polypore's still a bit OP, but I think once they get, you know, toned down a little bit, it'll be a bit better. But yeah, I mean, definitely, like, range is just brilliant. I think all of the combat styles are definitely as good as each other now. And you know, if you go head to head with somebody who's maging, and like, say if they're in Virtus and you're in Pernix, and you're gonna wreck them, like,
yeah.
But you know, it's not so much that they don't have a fighting chance. But, you know, yeah.
So would you use a range or mage in place of melee at a PVM boss if one came out that was weak towards that one now?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of my range, well, not a lot of it. I mean, before I went and did like 100 mil range XP with Chins, but I'm 172 mil range XP, and I deliberately stopped at 170 mil because I don't want to get 200 mil, because it, you know, it's just something that I don't want. It's a skill that I don't want to finish. But I got a lot of range XP at Nex. Like, I got a good 30, 40 mil XP just from Nex.
Wow.
And like, I used to do was free for all Nex, and it's, you know, when you've got a boss like that that's actually fun to do, then yeah, I mean, you're going to get a lot of XP for it.
Okay, so definitely Rangers and Mages are a lot stronger now. So that's good, because you really don't see many people running around with that combat type in game right now.
Yeah.
Now, this is something else that people seem to be upset about, the new combat level, and fixing the relationship between defense life points and damage output.
Hmm?
So defense plays a bigger role now, you think, or is it not as noticeable as they claim it to be?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really notice it myself, but I guess I guess with defense, they meant life points. So if they mean in the case of life points, are giving life point boosts, then definitely, then yeah, it's extremely noticeable. But if they mean defenses in like harder to hit, no.
Yeah, okay. So not on that side, but definitely on the life point boost, because like you were saying, if you put on a better piece of armor, you get more life points. So therefore, that's the incentive to have higher level defense, so you can wear these armors and be more resilient.
Yep.
Okay. Low-level combat levels truly represent their ability. You think lower-level combat can be more effective in-game now? Because we've been really focused on the high end here.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it gives, you know, I think with pures and things, defense, I guess pures are going to need to level. I guess berserker pures are going to get be the best type of pure now because they have defense, whereas the one defense pures obviously don't.
Right. So, and they're not going to be able to use the armors and everything, and then going to be handicapped.
Yeah.
But overall, I think that if a new player came into the game and got accustomed to EOC, they'd probably be able to have an easier time of killing things than you and I did when we first started out. And ultimately, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And let's also remember that there's a tutorial in-game now, the Combat Academy, that covers pretty much everything we're talking about here and more. And it tells you how to get everything all set up and the way it all works. So if you've not done Combat Academy and you want to get a jump on it, I highly suggest you head into the beta this weekend and check out Combat Academy. It's right in Lumbridge there. You can't miss it.
Yeah, definitely. It is a good tutorial, and I would recommend doing it as well.
Alrighty, so let's talk about some of the positives now from our point of view about what happens with the EOC. So, first up, the first thing I have listed here is a new level of customizability in terms of what you do with the armor and the way you set up the action bars. So, I take it you're happy with the way you can customize your fighting style completely, right?
Yeah. It does allow, you know, full customization, and I think that's a nice thing about it as well. Like, you don't, you know, you're not restricted to certain, you know, I think, yeah, it's like three types of attack styles based on weapon, but now you've got like 12.
Yep. So, and also, something that also comes from this is the fact that you'll remember that if you were using a spear, for example, beforehand, you would only be able to choose control or defense XP. Now you can choose what type of XP you get for any type of weapon, no matter what its options are. So I think that helps as well, because I know there are times when you might want to use a spear, but you don't want that
defense
attack
XP.
Or strength XP.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing as well. And the whole level of customizability thing is really understated over voice here on the show. You need to head into game and have a look and see exactly all of these different abilities and what you can do with the action bar and put it all together and come up with a combination that works for you. And once you do that, I think you'll truly feel the power of the EOC as we see it.
You've got 3 days left. Go for it.
Yeah, and that's lots of time. I mean, 72 hours. I know there's people that spend lots of time in game. So
yeah.
Now, training speed for Slayer and stuff is also increased if you use the abilities, but it's a little bit more tedious in terms of having to push all the buttons and everything. But I think we can both agree that the training speed would have been increased with this update.
Not entirely sure about increased. I don't know. Maybe to a certain extent.
Yeah, but nothing astronomical, though.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends, you know. Obviously, there are people that are going to be quick at training certain things, and other people aren't. So, I mean, you know, I guess it just depends on what you really, you know.
All right. So also more strategy required to how you're going to plan when you're dealing a massive blow at the end and not just pressing the button to get that 600 Dragon Claw special that we mentioned.
Yeah.
So and this... Okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
Okay, I was going to say this comes down to ultimate abilities and truly being the replacement for like the Dragon Claw special as an example. So... What's your favorite ultimate ability to use if you're just going for massive damage? Like, you'd want to do something similar to, like, what the Dragon Claws did.
Slaughter is a good one. I mean, well, Slaughter's, it's not an ultimate, but it's a threshold. But, what's it called? There's a few, really, that give it a similar effect. I can't remember this one off the top of my head, but...
What category is it in?
I think it's attack or strength, but I know it's a one-handed weapon. Like, you sort of swing your sword around and you do like a bunch of
frenzy.
Yeah, that'll be it. Frenzy.
Yeah, that's an ultimate strength ability.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you build up the adrenaline, which is from using other abilities or just being in combat, and then once you reach the end, you can unleash this massive attack. So, and once again, like we were saying with the PVM part of this, there are people who are going to appreciate this new challenge.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, part of it, because I know for me, I got bored of combat really quickly doing Slayer and everything right now. So I am actually looking forward to getting back into the combat scene and doing this with the EOC. And that's kind of why I've been in a holding pattern on RuneScape, is because I've not wanted to do anything until the EOC comes out, because I just have found combat draining and dull beforehand. And I'm hoping that this will give a newer... sense of freshness to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you get well, into this,
there's always the option to train it the old way as well if you want to. I mean, yeah, that's exactly what the momentum ability is for. So, you know,
yeah, we didn't mention that momentum. It's an ability, an ultimate ability. You just press it, and it essentially
20 minutes,
and you train like you did before. And apparently, they updated it so it'll throw in a few abilities along the way as well.
Yeah. So, you can thank Chris L for that one.
Yeah, I was watching that on The Focus, and he was very proud of that. I mean, the Q&A. This is The Focus. Also with that, so even if you want to train Slayer the old way, I mean, there's no reason not to be happy about the EOC, because you can do that using the new abilities here.
The only thing that you don't get really is the special attacks, but even that is replaced by the ultimates and thresholds. I mean, even so, you don't even need to use. Some of the thresholds do more damage than the ultimates, and you know, I prefer abilities like Slaughter to various ultimate abilities, just because of the sheer amount of bleed damage they do. You can combine a bleed ability like Slaughter with, you know, an ultimate, and to get the same effect. Or you can do a few thresholds, and you know, it's undo unreal damage. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know, this also goes with decoupling the special attacks. Previously, you'd have to have one specific weapon, and now you can do it with any weapon, which is better. I mean, unless there's people out there who are upset about the Dragon Claws losing value if they had money invested in them. But overall, it's better for a wide variety of people.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, the Dragon Claws will get their own sort of little thing as well, you know. And they look nice. Yeah. Like have you seen the graphical update on them? They look sweet.
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, they're epic.
And that's another thing about this update that people are forgetting. Pretty much everything you can wield in your hand got a graphical update.
Yep.
So
all of the dragon weapons got a graphical update, and they all look crazy epic as well. One of my friends made a video sort of showcasing them all, so I guess I could link that.
Oh, yeah, put that link in the notes here. That'd be good. And as we mentioned before, they're already working on future abilities coming out, and with this, more options for the future quest reward abilities and whatnot. So, and if anybody out there is listening, or has listened rather, to the Q&As that they did, they said that this was required for the future of combat, because their old system wasn't expandable, and they wanted to do some new things with it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
everyone's
there's loads
benefit.
Of potential. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess we just have to wait and see. Maybe yep. we get a new God Wars-type dungeon that's just like, you know...
That would be interesting to see. Or even just a little bit of an update in the current God Wars dungeon to make the NPCs there a little bit smarter and require you to actually use the abilities down there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait for next Tuesday, actually, to get back to Training Slayer. So, that's what this show has done to me so far. What's it done to you guys? Now, we're going to talk about a few of the perceived negatives pertaining to EOC. We did have somebody planned, but I haven't been able to get in contact with him, so I don't know if he willingly just decided not to come or if there's some internet problem. But irregardless, special attacks being removed, many people saw as a big negative.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Like, sure, I mean, from a nostalgic point of view, I remember playing when this game came out and... doing, I think it was the Lost City quest to get the Dragon Longsword. Is that the one?
Yeah. I'm the Dragon.
Doing
Dragon.
That one. Yeah. Okay. Doing that quest to have the ability to get those, and the special on that Dragon Longsword was just so good back then, and I can see why some of you guys out there are upset about losing these nostalgic specials like that. And I think the majority of the people who are against this update would be the ones who are from that era. Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to miss special attacks. I mean, like, you know, in a few years' time, we're going to be like, back in my day, we had random events. Back in my day, we had special attacks. All these newbies are going to be like, what's that?
Or before Claws came out and be doing a clue scroll in the wilderness and getting hit by somebody with a very fast dragon dagger special
for
a high amount and then getting finished off by something else. So, like, I see where you guys are coming from with this, but pretty much everything that could be done in a special attack beforehand can be done with an ability now. So... I mean, it just doesn't look as nice and it doesn't feel as nice, but it's still there. So just try and think of that. And I'm sure we all have screenshots of what these used to look like. So this is just a natural part of moving forward, and we have to.
Mm-hmm. It's just change at the end of the day. I mean,
yeah,
people get used to it.
And one of our articles on Informer this month is the more things change, leading into that quote. So, I mean, it's just natural.
Yeah.
Okay, the combat level formula. People are upset about this, and rightly so, because people spent so much money leveling up prayer and summoning in order to max out combat, and now they're not even a part of the equation.
They're still going to have their uses, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I see this as a false argument, because turmoil is still going to be useful, and there's two other different types of turmoil that you can use at level 95 prayer. So there's no reason why this prayer is useless. You can still use it. The only difference being is that your level is going to be different, and sure, that'll mean more maxed people, but isn't that better that we can have a clearer indication of what combat consists of being a nice calculation now?
Yeah, I'm not really sure about the whole, you know, the new combat calculation. It doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't, I guess it doesn't really make as much sense as the current one, but I guess it'll have its positives as well as everything
else.
Yeah,
and I assume you understand the current combat formula that's in game pre-EOC, right?
Yeah.
Which is a very complex equation to tell people. It's if you're a melee based player, it's your defense plus your constitution plus your prayer divided by 2, rounded down, plus 1.3 times attack plus strength. So, and then you divide all that by 4 at the end. So, it's a very complex equation to remember. And as a fan site, we spent ages researching this formula as to what exactly it was going to be, and we finally got it right through some testing. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just nice to have such a simple formula that you can add up in your head. 2 plus defense plus highest combat skill being attack strength or ranged or magic. So I like the new formula better, but once again, I think we're dealing with a nostalgia kind of thing here. Which one do you prefer?
I guess I prefer the new one, but, you know, I guess it's something we're just going to have to see what happens with, and it's just another change that everybody's going to have to get used to, so...
Yep. Yep. Can't one-click monsters, and like we said, the fix for that is momentum.
Yep.
You just do that, and off you go, and 20 minutes. And I... Last time I checked, most Slayer tasks take under an hour, so you just need, like, 3 charges of the ability bar to ultimate, and then 3 clicks of momentum, and you're practically doing Slayer like you used to. So, once again, momentum is your answer, and just look into that if you're really concerned about the whole one-click ability thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now WoW. People calling RuneScape too much like WoW. Have you ever played WoW?
Sort of, but not like, you know, a lot. I played it. I got to max level, and then I didn't. I don't. You know, I'm more of a completionist player, and it didn't feel right. Like it felt like I'd finished everything very quickly, and I didn't like that. So,
and you know, that's what I was telling you a couple of weeks ago. Just like Star Trek Online, I finished everything on all my characters in the game. So, and that's why you come back to RuneScape, is because RuneScape is so rich in terms of content. And for everybody saying that the EOC is like WoW, it's not, because you still got the core of RuneScape behind it, which is nothing like WoW. So, you got that, and also the fact that WoW combat and abilities and whatever that they have in WoW are a lot more complex than the EOC stuff. So keep that in mind. RuneScape is still simple, and this is just a unique spin on the way of doing things in RuneScape, and it's a natural progression. Because remember, RuneScape was released in 2004. This was before any of the other MMOs out there that are popular right now existed. So it makes certain sense. That
RuneScape 2 was released in 2004. Was it?
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure it was 2003.
March? Are you sure?
I think so.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe it was. You're right, you're right. It was 2003. You're right.
Yeah, I'm sure, you're because right. I remember, like...
Okay, so this is... So this adds even more to this argument then that it's not like WoW, because any of these other games didn't exist out there, and using a bar like setup like this had never been done before. And this is the way that pretty much every MMO out there is going, and it just means it's a tried, proven way of doing things. So there's nothing wrong with that, and it's not WoW.
Yeah, it's. Definitely not WoW. I mean, like, the gameplay is just so much different. I mean, one reason I love RuneScape is that, you know, people ask me why I still play RuneScape after all this time. Like, you know, oh, you're a trimmed completionist. Have you done everything? And it's like, well, you know, that's the thing I like about RuneScape. It's very, very hard to do everything. And even when you do, there's new content almost every single week. So, you know, it's nice because there's always something to do. With games like World of Warcraft, you don't get that. And even when RuneScape updates, it's down for like a minute. When WoW updates, it's down for hours. So it's just, you know, you've got nothing to do for these so many hours. And, you know, RS is, I don't know, I just prefer the game player.
Yeah. And with this, we got to ask you guys out there, do you prefer the weekly updates of RS or stuff? Because you've got a pretty good game here to play. And that's why I think I wanted to do this focus, was to just show what the EOC can be and how lucky we are to have a game like RuneScape behind EOC. Because if this was other companies, like Raji said, you'd be sitting for months on end without new content. So, I mean, there's just so much to do in the game, and why not experience it in a newer way with EOC? You've had the old way, and that's fine, but it's time to move on to the new way of doing things.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm finished with this. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, that's it from me, I guess. But, well, I don't know. Get on the beta over the next couple of days and try it out.
Yeah, definitely do that.
It is happening, and you're going to have to get used to it before it comes out. So it's better to do it before it comes out rather than after it's come out and you're trying to compete with everybody. So.
Yep. Alrighty. So with that being said, remember to check out the Action Bar Sharer. That'll get you started with your equipment and everything for EOC. And then you can share that with your friends and discuss what's becoming new and everything. So thank you, Raji, for joining me for this.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
And I'll say that you can find Raji on his YouTube channel at youtube.com/JimmyFly06. Thanks, Raji.
No problem.
All right, moving on to tech news now. Microsoft patched a bug in Skype's web systems. So this week there was a little exploit with Skype where a person was able to hijack someone's account by using, what was that?
Dad.
Oh, okay. Using a fake email address. So, at the time of the attack happened, they did disable the ability to reset passwords using any old email address. Microsoft says they have since now patched this, so it is safe to go about your normal Skyping business. But definitely a big issue that when this comes from Microsoft. The issue, they say, primarily affected some users where multiple Skype accounts were registered to the same email address, and then that they suspended the password reset, like I said. And then that's now working properly again, and they are, of course, working to contact users who have been impacted by this vulnerability. Then they, of course, have to end off with saying Skype is committed to providing a safe and secure communications experience to our users, and we apologize for the inconvenience.
Sure they are.
So, that's a little bit concerning when you have Skype, which is one of the biggest communication platforms out there, that has a problem like this, but these kind of things happen nonetheless. So, that has been fixed. If anybody heard about this and was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
The Wii U launches on Sunday.
Woo, Wii U! I was half right on that, on the name prediction.
What was your prediction again?
I said they're going to call it the Wii Wii. I got half of it right.
Why would it be the Wii Wii?
Because it's Nintendo.
Right now, oh, it's called, and then the Wii. It would be like the second Wii?
Yeah.
Wii Wii! Wii Wii!
Okay, so apparently people are already lining up in New York in front of the Nintendo's flagship store in New York. Probably about 12 people sitting there. So, and there were metal barricades up, assuming there might be a larger crowd. Just in case. And the first person in line is a well-known Nintendo fan and had been waiting for nearly a month, but also has several sponsors supporting him. And he was also first in line for the last several Nintendo launches, including a few consoles, handheld systems, and games.
I wonder how many DSs he has.
Yeah, I don't know, because don't they, haven't there been like 5 DSs or something like that?
You know what? I quit counting.
Yeah, I lost track after Game Boy Advance.
Oh, Game Boy Advance was the best one. What was the one
I had moved on to computer gaming by the time Game Boy Advance came out. I only had the Game Boy Color.
What I loved about the Game Boy Advance was how ergonomically it was designed. You know, what was the next one? Nintendo, I think it was SP?
I have no idea.
I think it was called, I can't remember anymore, but I think it was called, the little square one. I hated that one because that thing was, it felt so tiny that my hands hurt. And the DS one, it's just a little box. And, you know, if I'm playing for a long time on Benny's Game Boy, on his DS, I'll actually have marks on my hand.
Oh, from what?
Like holding the DS, because, you know, I have nowhere to holding it. And actually, I cannot even play the DS because it's really made for right-handed people anyway. And I'm a lefty. Using the stylus plus playing is not happening with me.
So do you think this thing's going to make as big of a splash as the first Wii did?
Oh, yeah. It's Nintendo. Once they start getting all their main characters, you know, they take care of Mario very well. You know, no one's going to mess with Mario. I'm sure there's going to be a new version of Nintendog or something like that that's going to get all the little fan girls and boys go completely kaka-cuckoo over it. Once they throw in a Zelda game that takes full advantage of that little controller thing, that's going to be insanity. And,
right.
You know, throw in a Samus game and you use that for scanning and, you know, inventory and whatnot. And it's like, who knows what they're going to do? And you know, the best thing about it is, you know, like with the Wiimote and the Kinect, you know, people will hack it and do crazy things with it. We can only imagine what they're going to do with that little thing, you know?
Exactly. Do you know if you're able to use, the regular Wii controllers, right?
I don't know. I guess so. I mean, you can use
What about the GameCube controllers?
I don't know. I They're haven't looked work? At the spec.
That'd be interesting to know. But one thing I'm really excited about with the Wii U is the fact that they put this touchscreen on the controller. It's like a true multimodal UI. You got the fingers thing, then you also got the touch right next to it. And in a way, this is a perfect example of where UIs could go in the future, in that the fact you got a bit of a summer UI on the gamepad and the main one up on your TV. So it's definitely very interesting, because there's, just looking at the diagram for the controller, and you got an NFC location thing, so you can read and write data to it using NFC, which is interesting. You also got a microphone, a camera, and speakers on the actual device.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice.
Yeah. Nice. So I think it'll be a fun system, and you know, the thing is they released this before Xbox 720 and PS4, so they'll have that market, you know, at least for a good year.
They even added an extra set of Z buttons on it.
Oh, it did? Mm.
Yeah, so it's got the same amount of buttons now as the Xbox 360 controller.
Mm. That's always good.
I bet Nintendo will make a profit on this thing, because I mean, it's a natural extension from the regular Wii, and just the fact that it's out over a year sooner is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. So they'll have that market. They'll have the gaming market for a while until they back us off and then release the new console, and you know, then the console wars will go on again. But
and you know, the thing is that people always say Nintendo isn't relevant to hardcore gamers, but there's a different segment of the market who likes to play games, and this is perfectly fine for Nintendo to be going after this. And just the fact they're doing that, and they have the innovation on their side, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, you know, the other thing is, you know, they know their target audience. They're not going to target the, you know, 25-year-old or an 18-year-old hardcore FPS gamer. They're going to target the little kid and the families with kids. That's their main target population, you know? So, you know, you have the hardcore Nintendo who, you know, loves everything Nintendo does with Zelda, Mario, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then you have people like, I want to play it with my family and friends and just have a blast.
There's also a sound port on the controller, so you can plug a pair of headphones in. Could you imagine having one of these somewhere else in the house and maybe just playing a small little game on your Wii U controller that's being served up from your main Wii? And then when you get back to your Wii U, you get the full game. That'd be an interesting thing to do. And I just looked, and yes, you are able to use Wiimotes on them, as well as the Wii U Pro controller, which actually is pretty much like the Xbox controller, except for a few details. So I guess that's a replacement for the GameCube controller.
Yeah. I did like the GameCube controller. It fit pretty well, but I don't know. In my opinion, yeah. Xbox controller is my favorite one. It just feels so much naturally in my hand. I find the PS3 controller a little cramp.
Okay.
Just me. All right, so should we move on to Google Map?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Google Maps for iOS is nearing testing. Or the final testing phase, because you remember when iOS 6 came out, Apple decided that they were going to remove the Google Maps application and come up with their own solution, which really didn't go well for some places in the world. Because you'll remember we had the Tumblr as a pick of the week after that came out, with a whole bunch of iOS 6 maps mess-ups. So...
I think that Tumblr page is still functioning. I took a look at it last week just for kicks, and I was like, oh my god, 3D thing is not their forte.
Yeah, so, I mean, Google Maps is such a mature product, and they got so much data going into the thing, and you can also put your Google account at work there, so it just makes sense that Google Maps, for me at least, is a better mapping solution. I mean, I haven't had any problems with Apple Maps here, but still, might as well. And also, another thing that Google is doing with this is they're going to be including turn-by-turn navigation, which the Android version already has.
Ooh, I do like that, though. It's so much, it's really convenient.
Yeah, and then people don't need to buy an iPhone 4S or iPhone 5 in order to use the turn-by-turn of the Apple Maps application.
Mm. Yeah, I like it. I like my little Google app. I like my little Android.
Yeah, I just hope that this thing's not going to have any pressure from Apple into getting it actually into the App Store, because sometimes Apple can be territorial on that, but I don't think that'll happen because there's already lots of mail clients and extra internet browsers for iOS, so I mean, why not have a Maps application? And they did actually mention that there is now a map section of the App Store, just in response to the Google Maps issues. So, definitely a good thing, and I'm waiting for that. Anything else?
No, I'm good. I like my little Android.
Well, then let's move on to the Skill of the Month update. Not really much has happened. It's the prayer skill of the month. Miner Goo is currently winning with 5.3 million XP gained.
Come on, y'all. Get closer to Zamorak.
Flash has 1.5 million XP gained. And third is Parnassus with roughly 900k. So everything is looking on track halfway through the month that unless something major happens, Miner Goo will probably run away with this competition. But there's still a bunch of you out there who are... One person, actually, who hasn't got any XP. So if you're listening to this and you haven't got any prayer XP this month, you should get some XP.
Yes.
This person's Duke Juker.
He needs to get closer to Zamorak. Or Zaros, depending on which one he wants to follow.
You think that's who he'd follow?
No, but, you know, I don't think he would have been following Mushy Mushy Sarodomin. I'm sure he would like the nice, aggressive dude.
All right.
The one that would kick behinds and chew bubble gum but ran out of gum.
Yeah. So, like, this thing is relatively flat. the vast majority of the people have under 100,000 XP. So I'm really not expecting much to happen here. So with that being said, let's move on to achievements of the week. We got two of them this week. First one being November 12th was comp sci with 99 fletching. Congratulations.
And we have Jason72 got 99 farming on November 10th. Congratulations.
Yay!
To you both.
99 farming. That's such a nice skill. Don't you think? When are you getting 99 farming?
When are you going to donate 1,000,000 seeds?
I'll work on it. But I want 10% of the yield you get back.
From herbs or what?
Everything.
I don't even keep track of what I get anyway. I don't. I just grab them and dump them in my bag, and I just flog them when I get a nice giant number of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I usually do. But anyways, we can talk about that later. So you have a pick for us, I believe.
Well, do you want to go with this one?
Yeah, sure. Go with it.
All right. So this is just going back to ancient history. So let's check out the population pyramids. So this is from the United States Census Bureau. So this is straight up from them. And what this does is that you can actually play around, look up population data for different for all the countries around the world, and you can pick the year and everything else. But one thing that always fascinates people is really looking look at the population pyramid. So Shane,
how
do you
have
it open?
How do you get to the pyramid? Yes.
You click on the select report, and at the very bottom it says population pyramid graph.
All right, then what?
And pick a year, and then pick a country. So if you want to see why they call it a population pyramid, pick a third world country. Let's see. So try...
Go for Nigeria.
Yeah, okay. Go for Nigeria. Where the heck is it?
Starts with N.
No, they found it. Yes, I know it starts with an N. God. Okay, and...
I went for Canada.
Oh, well, if you look at Nigeria, you really see why they call it a population pyramid, because what the population pyramid does is that it gives like an estimate of people in that country based on their age. So in places such as who are from poorer countries, you'll see an actual pyramid where they have a very large child base, people who are from birth all the way to around 15 years. And as they go up all the way up to the top in their 80s or so, you see that the numbers diminish. And basically it's just how it is. You will have a very large children population, but as you continue to go up, you'll see that numbers decline because people die from work or diseases and everything else. Most countries like to have multiple babies because it's just more beneficial for them. But if you look up,
I'm looking at ours right now. We've got a big bulge in the center and the 50 to 54 gap.
And that is actually very standard for any country, a very well-developed country. So basically what this means, basically you have a lot of people in the workforce. People who are in between 30 to 65, mostly of them are still working. Right, so basically, that's why you see in developed countries, you actually see a little bulge in the middle, and that's very typical. If you really want, Shane, if you really want to see a very clear example of this, look in Switzerland, very clear.
So, oh yeah, I see that.
See, so and this is and what's good about this is that if you ever want to just. Doing a paper or something on a population, just want to take a look what's there, this is perfect. This is straight up from U.S. Census Bureau. You can't get any better source than this. We're going to say, no, it's not right.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can always... Yeah?
What else can this thing do?
It gives you... Well, if you look in the special reports, you really see everything else they can do. So, population density, demographic overview, annual growth rate, and if you really want to see the growth rate of different countries and you kind of determine what's going to happen, it's basically a way to force you, okay, this is what our population is looking now, here's what we predict is going to happen in the future, and you can plan for this. Okay, we're going to have a lot of babies soon because we have these a lot of people going into their 20s and 30s. They're going to have children, so let's do blah, 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 blah. Let's get some schools, daycare centers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, if you want to take a clear look at some of a place that's really going to get in a lot of trouble, you should really check out Japan. If you click Japan,
and what report should I pull up for that?
Just stay with the population pyramid for now and just go on this year, and then pick a year in the future, almost any time in the future.
So population pyramid. So let's go for 2040.
And you watch
2063.
No, it's only going on to 2050 for now.
Oh, I see. So by 2040, they're going to have a huge gap that's between 65 and 69.
Yes, and you know that's one of the problems with Japan right now is that no one's having children. And they're trying to give incentives for people to have more children, but it's not really working right now. And what you see, if you look at it, you see that, you know, the number of babies between are, you know, being born is very, very little. Japan is actually in a population decline because, you know, no one's just having children, and they're really strict about keeping their country very pure. So they're not really doing a lot of immigration. And, you know, you look at the U.S., and one of the reasons why we're growing so much, we're basically taking anybody that wants to come in. And
yeah, yeah.
And the same with almost every other developed country. We're just like, oh, hey, you're a, you know, great employee or a great scientist or whatever. Oh, well, bring your family over. We'll love to have you over. So, you know, one of the problems with Japan is, you know, they have the most centurions. You know, they have lots of people who are going to be over 100 years old. The problem is, who's going to be taking care of them? They're not, you know, people in the workforce, there's only going to be so
the
many.
The U.S. graph for 2020 or 2050, rather, forms a dome.
Yeah, that's with a huge worker population, basically.
Yeah, but everybody below the age of 70.
Yeah, because our population is going to blow up. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
So, you know, this is one of the things you can have fun with, and just like, you know, if you ever do a paper, this is one of the best sources you'll ever do if you're looking up people and all that. You know, you can like population by age group, youth group, fertility rates, and everything else. Hey, you doing one of those poli-sci papers on what's going to happen in 20 years? Oh, here you go. You can take a look like we're expected to have this so many people, and this is what we're going to need. So. Yeah,
yeah,
this
I'm just trying
fun.
To think of a way I can spin this so that that it's a good time to reduce immigration, but I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so have some fun with this, and hope you guys enjoy.
Too bad there's no George Bush looking at Saddam Hussein through a telescope.
You already had that one already.
I know, but that was a great pick.
You can go back to, I don't know what episode that was. You can go back there and find it. God.
Yeah, I have an archive of that. All right. So moving on from that, we have our Evolution Combat Contest, which I kind of alluded to earlier in the show. So Evolution Combat's coming out next week. So by the time you're hearing this, this contest will have been running since Friday the 16th. So, what is going to be happening is we want to see what kind of action bar layouts you guys have and which one you think is the best, and then we will be judging them in a competition that will be based on PVM, PvP, and skilling. So we're going to have a look at all these and then judge them based on that. And then the winner, whoever submits the best action bar, will receive a grand prize. And Jagex has agreed to provide a grand prize that includes a scarecrow mask, green skin, a turkey hat, a flaming skull, an ice mask, a barbed bow, and 75 spins. So the grand prize will be that prize pack. And we're also going to include, from our fan site, some other prize packs for the runners-up. So I think we were talking before the show, you might see some kind of offhand weapons there and perhaps a cash prize or something like that as well. So if you're at all interested in entering this contest and showing off what you've come up with for the Evolution of Combat action bars, you can do that. All you need to do is head on over to the equipment calculator, which I mentioned earlier. Link will be in the show notes. And then fill out your equipment if you want. It's not necessary to use for the action bar part of it, but you can. So fill out your loadout, and then head over to the ability bar section, and then you'll be able to put everything you want on there. You can even add specific items. So if you're working on a skilling thing that will deal with, say, drop mining iron, you can do that. Something that's for farming that has a farming item on it, you can do that too. So head on over and fill this out, and then be sure to save your loadout publicly and post it on the forum topic for entering in this contest. The link for the contest will be in the show notes. So again, links for both these will be at update.rspmb.com.
Yes. And yeah, you guys always remember, I don't go cheap with the cash prizes.
Yep. And also, let's just note here that you are going to be able, with this later on, to do a whole lot more with our action bar share. This is just the first release that covers what needs to be covered for the getting people accustomed to the evolution of combat. And also, just of note, we are in the process of working on updating all these items so that they will have the proper EOC stats. So for the meantime, just fill in what you use, and then later on we'll of course get everything the way it's supposed to be.
And, you know, do also make a comment how you're supposed to use it. You know, I'm a big fan of doing combos, so it'd be nice to know, like, what do you press as you're filling up your adrenaline bar. You know, what combinations do you use to fight other people and stuff? That's always been very useful to me.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. And yeah. Let your creativity flow. See what works and what doesn't. I've had my share.
Yeah. Yeah, so that you can enter that, and this contest will run for roughly 2 weeks, and we'll announce the show the winner 2 weeks from this week. So we look forward to seeing what you managed to come up with here.
And whatever you do, don't cross the streams.
Don't cross the streams?
Yes.
What do you mean?
It's a Ghostbuster thing.
Oh, okay.
You need to watch more cartoons, Shane.
No, I don't need to watch cartoons.
Okay, so, Shane, what have I been doing this week?
Oh, if you look at the action bar share thing, that's exactly what I've been doing this week. You'll notice that there's something on the order of 200-plus little images there. I cut out each one of those images from the actual game, and then that was the biggest part of actually doing this thing. So that was a big part of this week, as well as actually implementing this. So that's primarily what I've been doing this week. I wanted to spend a bit more time in the beta before I came out to set some of these bars up on my own character, but I haven't got around to that yet. I'll have to do that this weekend. Aside from that, I just done the usual herb farming run here and there, and also checked out, of course, the Dungeoneering update, and did, I think, 2 Dungeoneering daily challenges, so as we were mentioning, those are very nice.
Yeah, I spent most of this week doing. I ended up getting 2 Dungeoneering dailies. Like, ooh, this is nice. So I tried out, did that little thing, and I basically got like over 100K for doing 2 of those. Like, oh my god, this is nice. Then I got a mining pendant, so I just basically spent the week using it all up.
All right,
got me a mining level. So okay. I really need a construction one. That's what I want. I need to get construction up, but it's just so tedious to make those.
Well, you could get one of the prismatic pendants.
Didn't get any of those. I didn't get any of those, yeah.
I believe we're done. So, yeah. Also, a reminder from the focus, if you have any ideas for a future focus you'd like it to hear discussed, send in that as well. You can do that on the update website. We like hearing about what you'd like to see. So we'll try and get something else lined up in December for another focus. But until then, get those ability bars set up and enter that contest. See you next week, everyone.
Remember to enter the contest. Bye-bye.